the tomatoes in today, so I figured that those were for this evening. Just kidding. I would like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This evening I'd like to start in Hebrews. The sixth chapter, and you guys are all familiar with it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Let us go on to perfection. We've all accomplished that, correct? We've joined the church by being baptized. We have given our hearts and our souls to Jesus Christ. We're there. You all believe that, right? And I'm sure there's some among us that believe that. For myself, I'm defective. Imperfect. And this is a journey that we go on. This isn't something when we start out that all of a sudden we're perfect. Made our commitment to Christ and that's all there is. I want you to go to page 748 in the Book of Mormon. Just take me a second. Fifth book of Ether, 28th verse, and it says this: I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves. Now, why would God give you a defect because this goes against everything that we've been taught? Those defects are to be hidden, covered over, put in the back closet, and so we are not honest with ourselves. No one would like to think that they are defective. What does society do to things that are defective? We throw it away. We say, well, I don't want to fix that. I'm just going to go and buy a new one. I work as a mechanic, find all kinds of defects in things. And some things are worth fixing, some things aren't. But these defects that we have are the things that God works through. And what was the purpose of this life if we just get thrown away? We discussed this in Sunday school this morning about our weaknesses. And I thought it was pretty telling because it was right about what I was going to talk about tonight. And so I told Gary afterwards, I said, nice going. Took my sermon away. But it is about humility. You know, I remember when I was first converted to the gospel, I was on fire for my God. In some ways, I still am. with a little more wisdom. You want to tell the world all the things that Christ has done for you. And you want everyone to come to that experience. Look, I worked with this guy out at the quarry here several months ago. And the reason that I was there was for this guy. Been through a lot of the things that I'd been through. And when I would explain things to him about some of the miracles that happened in my life, same thing had happened to him. He'd go, wow. He's on fire for Christ. He's telling all his friends. And they don't want to hear it. You have to have a little wisdom. And I told him that. I said, you know, sometimes, you know, because he'd talked to a friend that was going to another church, you got to come here. Because I went and I went to his mum's church, and they want me to preach down there, which is a community of Christ. But anyway, doesn't understand that it's that relationship with Christ. You want to tell the world. And I still try and do that. Let's go to page 92 in the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Don't lose that page there because I'm going to come back to it. I'll put something in there. Page 92. And this is Nephi. I'm going to start in the 31st verse. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sin which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sin. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. Consuming of my flesh. Has your flesh been consumed by Christ? And these sins that so easily beset us. You know, I look at Nephi and I know that he was a spiritual giant, but still had the same problems that we have. Defective. Also, you know, brothers, sometimes I struggle, incredible struggles, that I know that my God has to be the one that takes those away from me, and he does. He does. He also, if we go back, or if we continue on from 36 to 56, he says this: He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by vision in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice hath I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. Can you imagine that? That mighty prayer that God would answer and send his angels to minister unto you. Do you have that? Why not? And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And my eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore, I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptation that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of my enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger against because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine affliction. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God and my rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemy? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? Do we shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gate of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? This wasn't about Nephi. He knew he had to have that strength of God to do all those things for him, to protect him, to help him through his afflictions with his enemies. It was who that saves us, that changes us, that molds us through those afflictions. You know, we have another example, and that would be 2 Corinthians. 12th chapter. And you all know this. This is one of my favorite. Seventh verse, the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Was his weaknesses that God was interested in. God had given Paul all these strengths and all these abilities to do these things, to take forth his word. But yet, he was interested in those weaknesses, as in ours. You see, when we have those weaknesses, who do we rely on? We can't rely on ourselves anymore. Lord, you've got to help me with this. Some friends came up and picked apples the other day, and I told them this was my favorite scripture. Because it is. It tells me where my mind has to be. The 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, just over the page. And I'm going to start in the second verse. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that how we combat those weaknesses? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're capturing these thoughts. When you pray at night or in the morning, what is it? Does your mind wander? Do you pray? All of a sudden you're thinking about all the things that you're supposed to get done or want to get done. You want that channel to be open. You want him to hear you. And you want to be able to hear him. I want you to go back to that next part of that page 478 in Ether again. The part that I didn't read. It says, "For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." So is an intricate part of being made humble. That God gave those weak things to us that he might humble us. And if you didn't have those weaknesses, when would you ever turn to your God? Brothers and sisters, I stand before you defective. And I have many defects in this character, and I'm sure many of you would be able to point them out for me. I know my wife could. And so what that means to me is, I need my God a lot more than some of you people. So I'm kind of greedy, I guess. It is an intricate part of how God trains us, or how he shows us, or how we get closer to him, I believe. Those struggles are what he gives us, so that we don't end up on that scrap pile. like to go to King David. Now, you know King David was a man after God's heart. He must have thought that. God wouldn't know his heart. I don't know how he would know that, but or that he was immune from the wrath of God because he was God's anointed one. How'd that work out for him? God gave him some choices. And in 2 Samuel, Eleventh chapter. It's kind of a little bit of a long read, but I'll try and sum it up a little bit for you. I'll read part of it. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. And Ramoth. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Guess he had a weakness. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Had a problem there. David had a problem there. Not uncommon to man, but it is a problem. David knew he could have anything. You know, that's not always a good thing. That's not always a good thing. And that's one reason why God doesn't give us those spiritual gifts without measure or in abundance. God knew that he was going to do that. Hoped he wouldn't, but knew that he was, I'm sure. You know, and yet David was a man after God's heart. And he still had to pay that price, consequences. There are consequences for everything that we do. Everything. Our spiritual life. And we all know the rest of the story, correct? That he brought Uriah back, wanted him to go down and just kind of cover it over, you know, that it was Uriah's child. That was his idea, but he didn't come back and do that. Could God wanted to reveal that to David, that what he had done? So then he had him killed. May as well have, because, you know, he He didn't shoot the arrow or throw the spear, but that's what he did. And so the sins just kind of mounted up one on top of another. Started out with just a weakness. One thing I will give David, took ownership. Poor Saul wasn't quite like that. You know, it is very telling, and I see this, I'm kind of a people watcher. But have you ever noticed when a crisis comes in someone's life, it tells a lot about their character. Whether they blame someone else or something else, or whether they own up to it, take the punishment. It really is. It's really telling when you see people in crisis, what's their response? What kind of character do they have? And I think that's another reason why God gives us those trials, is to see what kind of character we have. To reveal it unto ourselves also. You know, you didn't fare too good, Trent. David wasn't much different. You know, a thought that struck me here several months ago, and I was thinking about this, which goes along with this, that in the first chapter of John, it says that word, what was it? It was with God. Was God. Created everything. Everything. There wasn't anything that wasn't created by him. So he had to create Satan. Had to create Judas. And he said, haven't I chosen 12 of you and one is the devil? Walked right alongside him. Knew that. For you and I, would we be able to do that? Tells you how incredible our Lord and Savior really is. But he knew that it had to be. I want to go to page 405 in the Book of Mormon, which is Alma, the 15th chapter. I'm going to start in the 30th verse. And this is talking about the people of Ammon. Therefore, they were distinguished by the name ever after, and they were among the people of Nephi, and also numbered among the people who were at the church of God. And they were also distinguished for their zeal towards God, and also towards men. For they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ, even unto the end. And they did look upon shedding the blood of their brethren with the greatest abhorrence, and they never could be prevailed upon to take up arms against their brethren. And they never did look upon death with any degree of terror, for their hope and views of Christ and the resurrection, therefore death was swallowed up by them by the victory of Christ over it. Therefore, they would suffer death in the most aggravating and distressing manner which could be inflicted by their brethren before they would take the sword or the scimitar to smite them. And thus they were a zealous and beloved people, highly favored people of the Lord. Is that us? I would hope so. I would truly hope so. I would hope that we would be able to achieve these goals. Let's go to Luke 14. Going to start in the 15th verse. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then said he unto them, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden." Who's bidden? Is that us? "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought five oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." My wife stops me all the time, right? Not possible. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." Brought in all the humble ones. Ones that had problems. The ones that were bidden had too many other things to do. That should really scare you. It scares me. And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." If that doesn't scare you, nothing will. Because we need to be right with our God. It's so that I'm not cast out of that wedding because of my new wife. Sorry, honey. Because of my land, my farm, my new boat. I'm getting with you now. You know, the football games on Sunday, there's so many ways that we can count that we draw away from our God. And we all know that. We all know that. It never stops. I try not to make excuses for myself. I try to be honest about everything that I do. And yet, I'm defective. But through those defects, my God changes me. I'm not the same person I was yesterday. Certainly not the same person I was 20 years ago when I came to this part of the country. Or probably 25 years ago when I first heard the gospel. I understood it a lot differently. And I find that he's given me some wisdom as far as how to present things to people. I also know that even the apostles that walked with Christ for 3.5 years, most of them didn't get it. They didn't understand. And yet they walked right alongside him, seeing those miracles, those marvelous things. It's about our spirits, about our desires, about our walk with Christ. Second Nephi, 12th chapter. Eighth verse, behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles, he hath done his work. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which say, eat, drink, and be merry nevertheless. Fear God, he will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord. and their work shall be in darkness, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Is that not what we've been talking about? Seek deep to hide their counsel. Yea, they have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupted. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines, their churches have become corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing, and they persecute the meek and the poor in heart. Because of their pride, they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, just a few, who are the humble followers of Christ. You best be pure. Because I believe the time is coming. No more excuses. No more excuses. And with that, I thank you very much for your time. And I pray that the Lord Jesus will keep you safe and bless you. And that those weaknesses that he gives you, you give to him. Thank you.